12 people. The youngest was age 2. I was the oldest at 74. So we had quite a range of ages. And we were from all over the country, southeast, northeast, Midwest, and Colorado. There were 3 of us from Colorado. You're going to see some pictures. We're just going to scroll through. You can kind of see a general feeling of the things that we prepared. They're going to just continue to scroll as we talk. You're going to see another person there that should be standing up here with us, except she's now working in Pella, Iowa, Allison Chandler. She was part of the Colorado team of 3. So I want to turn this over now to Ashley, and she's going to tell you about our trip.
Thank you. Hi, guys. So I spoke up here once before, last spring, when I was asking for you guys to support me. And you did, and I got to go, and it was an incredible, incredible journey. We went to Chengdu, which I wasn't allowed to tell you before, but that's where we went, and then we also traveled to Beijing. So I had plans to be a camp counselor last summer. I had my whole life planned in front of me. I was like, this is what I want to do. And then God was like, no, you know, I have something planned for you that's what I want you to do. And in reality, it was better for me. So he put this mission trip in front of my face, and, you know, I thought it was impossible because I had to raise $3,500 in a span of a month to get to go to China. And I was like, that can't be done. I'm a college student. I don't even have time to fundraise. But you know what happened? I did it. I raised it. And everything was paid for. And that's also thanks to you guys. So thank you so much. Give yourselves a round of applause. That was amazing, amazing. So our daily lives, what they looked like, you can kind of tell in the pictures. But we stayed at a hotel in downtown Chengdu, and we would go over to the universities where college students were just milling around every day, and we would go in groups of 2 or 3, and we would just ask them about their cultures, and we would share about our cultures. And that's how we got the gospel in there. Jesus' film was the group we went with. They're a part of Campus Crusade. And they use short films to spread the gospel. And so we downloaded the short films in their language, in Mandarin, and we showed them to them. They were from the Gospel of Luke. It was God walking on water and calming the storm, and just stories that they've never seen before. And it was really powerful to them. And they would be like, what is this? And that was an open door for us to share the gospel. So we were the first Christians to ever come to this area. So that was amazing that we were the first people to go and share about God. A small part of people in China were Buddhist, but the rest of them were atheist. So 90% of people I talked to have never even heard of the name Jesus, ever. And they were astounded that there's something up there that loved them and created the world, and were just digging in, so excited to hear more about it. And I was just loving that I got to share that with them. Campus Crusade has 3 steps. We were the first step. So for the first 2 weeks, we go in and we kind of clear the fields, you know, pick the weeds out. We go in and we find Christians that are already there. We find people interested in Christianity, and we find people that come to the gospel through us. At the end of those 2 weeks, we hand them off to people called stints. They are people that live there from 1 to 2 years, and they make those relationships deeper that we hand them. And once those evolve, they hand them over to long-term families who live there from 5 to 10 years, and they build underground churches, pastors, people that spread the good news through the relationships that we ultimately first made when we went there for 2 weeks. And so it is an amazing process, and we got to hand them a lot of people. So I have a couple stories to share with you that were my favorite from the trip. The first one is about my friend Edward. So we were walking down this college campus one day, and it's usually super easy. I'm blonde. There was a 2-year-old. They swarm us. They take pictures. And it's super easy to make a conversation. But this day, I was walking with 2 of my teammates, and we couldn't find a single person to talk to. No one was making eye contact. It was super weird. We were like, oh, no, what do we do? So we send up a prayer, and we're like, God, we don't know these people's hearts. You do. And if you could send us someone with an open heart that we can share the gospel with, that would be amazing. So we round a corner into an alley, and these guys on skateboards come up, and they're like, hey, we speak pretty good English. Do you want to go to lunch? You know, we were a little hesitant. Girls are usually supposed to go find girls to minister to. Guys are supposed to find guys, just kind of protocol. And it was just me and my girlfriend, Rochelle, and we were like, okay, sure, we'll go to lunch with you. So we go to lunch with them, and we start sharing the gospel, and my friend Edward just eats it up. He's like, whoa, so cool. He dove in, and we didn't even get to the prayer, and he was like, how do I do this? How do I become a Christian? I want to do it now. And I was like, okay, all right. So he hands him the prayer. He says it out loud in English in front of the whole restaurant, and he comes to Christ. And that was one of my favorite days there, and it was a miracle, a big miracle. And a second amazing miracle happened when God opened a door. My friend Andy, he was in an English class because they're required to take English, and he was like, hey, you guys are super fun. Would you like to be the judges for this English class? And I was like, yeah, you know, that would be super fun. So we get there, and it's this giant auditorium with water for the judges and a screen and balloons everywhere, and we were like, oh my goodness. And we were the head judges because of our English skills. And so the kids would get up, and they would have to present in English for 3 minutes, which was tough. And then the second portion was they would have to have a graph or an advertisement, like let's say about toasters. So they would stand up there, and they would be like, we would ask them a question. How much is this toaster? How many watts does this toaster have? You know, looking at the advertisement. So they would have to look at the advertisement and say in English, find the answer and speak it back to us. It was really tough, really tough. When they were figuring out who won, they did some dancing and singing for us, and it was incredible to watch. But then they were like, okay, your turn, you know, and Sue was with me and my friend Josh, and they were both older, so they were like, her, go. So, you know, I step up there on the stage, and I was like, okay, I'll sing. It's super easy. I'll sing in front of you guys. It's pretty easy, but every word of every song just flew from my head. I couldn't remember anything. I was like, what are words? Oh, my goodness. So Josh shouts out. He's like, just sing a worship song, like 10,000 Reasons. So all the words came flooding into my head, and I didn't even think about the repercussions of singing a Christian song in a closed country in front of 100 people. But I did it. And everyone was clapping along, and it was an incredible, amazing experience. And afterwards, we had about 30 people ask for more songs like that and ask what the songs meant. And it was an open window to sharing the gospel more. And so he created those kind of opportunities, and it was just such a blessing to be a part of that and to step out and to have God use me. And finally, we were able to do some traveling. We saw the Great Wall of China. That's the slide, that picture. You slide down a slide off the Great Wall. We saw the Forbidden City and incredible, incredible sculptures. And now I'm going to hand it back to Sue for some closing remarks. But thank you for making this dream possible. You guys are just as much a part of what happened over there than us. Thank
you. One of the unusual experiences I had, Ryan Mansfield was my young friend who led the team. He and his wife and his two children, the girls were 5 and 2. And about 2.5 weeks before we left Colorado, he called and he said, would you be willing to do a seminar? And I said, a seminar? Okay. Because I'd done them in my working, you know, many years ago. A lot of public speaking and that sort of thing. But what do they need? What are they, you know, what are the purpose? So it ended up that I did do, it was the last day where we were in Chengdu, and it was a group of 50 professionals, and these were people that basically had worked, a lot of them had worked for Intel, and they were on, and they're developing their own companies, their startup companies that they were doing. And so about 4 or 5 days before that, I had prepared something, sent it to China, they reviewed it, and we went over it, and they said, but we want to change it. And so 4 days prior, we needed to change it. But they gave me the perfect topic. They were trying to do this once a month for this particular group. And the leader of the group, Nelson, was a Christian believer. And he had twofold purpose. One was professional. One was to find out who the Christians were in his audience and then, you know, approach them. And so the first of the speakers some months prior was on technology, computer technology, and then they had two other topics. Mine was to be influence. And, of course, he said, as a Christian, I want you to talk about being a Christian. So in an open forum, in a business setting, I did the seminar and did 45 minutes and then questions and answers, and they did some things. So it was an incredible time for me just to do something unusual that way. Very professional, all of them 40 or under. They were prime age for their, so that was a joy to be able to present that and to talk about the gospel and talk about my being a Christian in an open setting. Your prayers were really felt. We knew that you guys were praying. We had a lot of people praying for us, and that meant so much. It's really appreciated. We can't say that enough. I spiritually felt the prayers that were going up for us. There were times when things could have gotten awkward or bad. For example, we were there, we met some in-country staff, and on a Sunday we went to church. There were about 60 in a home church of Americans, Campus Crusade staff. And the two-year-old, Alina, fell on concrete, hit her head. So one of the other staff members who was fluent in Mandarin rushed with Ryan and Ann and took her to the hospital. Chinese physician checked her out and said, "I don't think she has a concussion, but watch her. This is what you should do." Within 2 days, she was completely fine and endured the rest of the trip. So that could have been one of those things. Team member, when we traveled from Chengdu to Beijing, lost all of her identification, her passport, her money on the plane. And we got off and she was going to show ID because they ask for ID through the airport even when you exit, and it was gone. And so Ryan ran back, couldn't go back to the plane, but he called forward. They found it on the plane. Absolutely nothing was missing. Nobody had stolen it. They turned it in. And so we didn't lose anything. So prayers were answered in a variety of ways that was very meaningful to us. As Ashley mentioned, every bit of support that they needed was raised by you guys and some others. So it made possible in a short time for all of us to go. One of the things that I'm left with, the impression was, the Chinese people we met were absolutely precious. They were friendly. They wanted to meet us. They wanted to talk with us. We had lunch with student after student after student. Their hearts were interested. Some of them were close to the gospel, so we moved on to the ones that we felt were. And, you know, as Ashley said, we had Edward. We had conversations in the 10 days in Chengdu with almost 300 conversations. So we had lots of opportunity to talk. We had meals with them. We walked with them, that sort of thing. We made friends that we're going to keep for a lifetime. We're still in touch with some of them. You know, I have a daughter named Sarah that is out of my life, and I met three Sarahs on this trip. One of them was our interpreter for the seminar that I did. Another one was the last day. Ashley and Allie had met this young student, Sarah. She was a vet student. And she just globbed onto me. I said, "Yes, I want to go to lunch," and met her. She and I are in touch on email. So we're going to keep in touch with a lot of people. Thank you again for making the trip possible for all of us, especially with your prayers. We love you, and you are a church family, and we appreciate it. Thank you.
Thank you, Sue and Ashley, both. I want to just spend a moment just praying for, thanking God for all that he did with the two of you, and also with Allison, too, even though she can't be with us. Dear God, thank you so much for the way in which you have called us to be a spiritual family on mission together. Thank you for the opportunity to support three women from our church as they spent just about 2 weeks in another country far around the world, but bringing the good news and seeing just wonderful, amazing results in such a short amount of time. God, we praise you for this trip. We praise you for all the individuals and families in our church that supported it through prayer, through finances, through partnership in some other way. God, we just give you all the glory. And we ask this morning that as we open your word and we see your mission in the New Testament church beginning in Acts or in Mark, that, Lord, that you would move in our hearts in the same way in which you just have in hearing this testimony. All these things we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. It is a pretty amazing testimony that we got from these two ladies this morning, and which they were able to experience with any number of other people on their trip over to China this summer. But it struck me as I was preparing for the sermon this morning, looking at Mark chapter 1, verses 14 through 20, and knowing that Sue and Ashley were going to be sharing, It struck me that often our experiences of mission, our experiences of what it looks like to follow Jesus in a powerful way and to bring the good news, often those experiences seem to be people who are uniquely gifted or who are specially set aside, who are not normal. And also, they seem to be experiences of people or places that are very far away from us. It's far more often that we read about mission in Scripture, which is another time and another place, or that we hear about mission, although it's at the same time, it's in another place, even around the world or on the other side of the country. And so this morning, I want to invite you, as we open up God's Word in just a moment to Mark chapter 1, I want to invite you to consider what it looks like to follow the way of Jesus this morning in your own life, in your own calling, whether that's with family or friends, in your job, wherever God has put you. What does it look like for those of us in our ordinary and regular lives to follow in the way of Jesus? And in many ways, that's the question we're asking throughout this series as we look at the way of Jesus. But this morning in Mark chapter 1, we're going to look at Jesus' model for us to follow him, his model for his first disciples. And so if you haven't already, I invite you to open your Bibles to Mark chapter 1, and you can follow along in your Bibles or follow along on the screen as I read verses 14 through 20. After John, that is John the Baptist, was put in prison, Jesus went into Galilee proclaiming the good news of God. And this is what he said: "The time has come. The kingdom of God is near. Repent and believe the good news." As Jesus was walking beside the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and his brother Andrew casting a net into the lake, for they were fishermen. "Come, follow me," Jesus said, "and I will make you fishers of men." At once they left their nets and they followed him. When he had gone a little further, he saw James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John in a boat, preparing their nets. Without delay, he called them, and they left their father Zebedee in the boat with the hired men and followed him. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. As I said, this morning I want us to focus on what it looks like for us here in Grand Junction in 2017 to follow Jesus. And it strikes me that, as I said earlier, the examples and the models that we often see are far away in another place or far away in another time. Well, what does it look like for us to have models of how to follow Jesus that are much closer, most closer to home and much more personal for us? I think to begin to answer that question, we can see or spend some time looking at Jesus' sermon. You see, for all the amazing things that the disciples did, for all the amazing places that they went and all the exotic places in which the gospel has been preached, it's quite a simple message that Jesus brings, isn't it? In fact, Jesus' first sermon is really only a few sentences, and if we were to distill it down a little further, is really only a few words. He says, as he's preaching in Galilee, he says, "The time has come, the kingdom of heaven is here, repent and believe the good news." And that's it. That's everything. I'm going to go for about 15 minutes this morning, but Jesus got it done in about 15 seconds. Isn't it amazing that all of these exotic ministries, all of these amazing places to which people go to bring the good news begins with the simple call of Jesus: repent and believe. I want to spend just a few minutes looking at those two words this morning. Jesus gives us a picture. He gives his disciples a picture as he's preaching. And it's if you know anything about the world of Jesus in the time of the first century, then you know that Jesus lived in a day where people walked everywhere. And so Jesus is giving his disciples a picture of walking down the road. And as Jesus is himself walking around the Sea of Galilee, he's walking down the road. And not just any road, not a physical road, but imagine for a moment you're walking down the road of your life. And the places where you're going and the people that you're meeting, for many of us, are places and people where we want to go. places where we want to go, people who help us or serve us or are of benefit to us in some way. In other words, we as Americans and as people living in the 21st century, we can be very self-centered. And even when we're trying to follow Jesus, even when we're doing our best, there's always different parts of our lives that we still don't want to give over to Jesus, that we want to use to serve ourselves, to set up our own security, whether that's financial or relational or respect or any number of other ways. And so imagine you're walking down this road of your life. You're going your own way, as Scripture says, all we like sheep have gone astray. Each of us has turned to his own way, right? We're walking down this road. We're going our own way. And you hear a voice that says, turn around. And so you turn around. You see, this is really the first part of Jesus' message. In Scripture, the word repent literally means turn around. See, Jesus in Scripture gives us this picture. We're walking our own way. We're walking away from God. Jesus comes and he says, repent, turn around. And so if you're walking away from God and you repent, you turn around, what happens? You now see God in front of you, don't you? You've been walking away, you turn around and you see God. And the longer you look to God, the more clearly you see him, the more clearly you see him as he really is, and the more clearly you begin to see yourself as you really are. And this ultimately is the first part of Jesus' message. Repent. Turn around. We're all, in so many ways, we're all going our own way. And this certainly is a message of repentance for those who had never trusted Jesus before. But it's also a message for those of us who have trusted Jesus for a long time. It's a message for those of us, as Mark Luker said a few weeks ago in his sermon, that we need daily to repent, daily to give over areas or parts or even again the whole of our lives as an act of trust and obedience to God. You see, what happens when we turn around from ourselves and we see God, is that we don't just see a God who is far off. We don't just see a God who is standing in the distance judging us. We see a Father who loves us. When we look to God, we see the Father that Jesus talks about in the parable of the parable of the prodigal son. A Father who, while we were still a long ways off, is running towards us with his arms wide open, ready to embrace us. And when we turn around, we see, whether that's for the first time or on a daily basis, we see God for who he really is, as a good and loving Father who invites us into relationship with him. And Jesus, in his first sermon, says, turn around, repent, look to the Father. But then there's a second word. There's a second part of the message where Jesus says, not just repent, we've been walking on this road, turn around, but also believe. Now, believe for many of us is nothing more than what we think. We believe it will be sunny today. We believe the Broncos will win. We believe in miracles. Maybe we believe the Broncos will lose. I don't know. But often, belief is little more than what we think, what we hope. It's not tangible, it's not realistic, it's just an idea. But for Jesus, to put it technically, in Greek, belief is the verbal form of the noun for faith. Which all that is to say is that believe is faith in action. That's what Jesus is saying. He's given us this picture of we're walking, we need to turn around, and then he says, after you repent, put your faith into action. Take a step of faith. You see, after we repent, after we're invited and welcomed into the Father's loving embrace, we see his love and his care for us, Jesus challenges us to take a step of faith. to act out our faith, to put our faith into action. And for many of us, this is where it gets difficult. Or at least this is where it gets scary, isn't it? Because we know where we get in our own strength. We know when we take steps apart from God that we always end up on the same road running away from Him. And many of us know that road well. We know it in our relationships. We know it in our jobs. We know it in our families. We know it in the deepest, darkest parts of ourselves. But when Jesus invites us, challenges us, excuse me, to take a step of faith, to take a step of, or to put our faith into action, two things happen. One is that things that were very far away and that were very far off before are one step closer, aren't they? That something that seemed impossibly distant is now just a little bit closer because we've moved ourselves, even if the target or the goal or the problem hasn't moved. We've moved ourselves, and so we can see just a little further over the horizon. We can see a little bit further around the corner. But the second thing that happens when we take a step of faith is that we recognize that it's actually not us stepping all by ourselves. We know where we get on our own. We know where we go when we walk in our own strength, when we walk down the easy road and the quick slope toward destruction and selfishness and ultimately hell. But when we turn around and we take a step of faith, what we find is that actually Jesus is with us. That His Spirit is in us, that our legs and our hands and our hearts, our muscles are being powered not by our own will, but by the Spirit within us. And so even as we rise to the challenge that God gives us to take a step of faith, to be obedient, we find that even in His challenge, He is with us. He walks with us. And He gives us the strength to move forward, to move closer to Him. You see, it's Jesus who makes our faith possible. It's Jesus who makes it possible first for us to turn around and then for us to take each successive step of faith. Not through our own strength, but through His Holy Spirit's power. And friends, that makes all the difference. And this is where I want to end today. See, Jesus did not just bring the good news to earth. Jesus wasn't, as it was, the God the Father's mailman or delivery man. He didn't just have some words or some instructions or a message to bring on the Father's behalf. What Mark tells us, what all the gospel writers tell us, is that Jesus actually is the good news. Not that He brings the good news or that He says nice things, although He does bring the good news and He does have a powerful message, but Mark tells us that Jesus actually is the good news. The good news, Mark says in Mark chapter 1, verse 1, the good news about Jesus. And friends, if Jesus is the good news, then as you take a step of faith, you can know that you're not walking in your own strength. As you work and go into this coming week, looking for ways to glorify God, to bring honor and praise to His name, you can be confident that you're not alone. That although the road rises steep in front of you, that you're not walking in your own strength. Because if you carry the good news with you, and if you've pointed your heart toward God, you've turned around, in other words, then the Spirit is in you. The good news, the Word of God made flesh, is with you. And wherever you seek to go in service to God, whether it's to your home, to the laundromat, to your classes, whether it's to a friend or roommate's room, to love your kids or to serve your parents, Wherever you go, you can go with confidence, knowing that the Father goes with you and the Spirit's power goes in you. Let's pray. Father, in a world where obedience to the gospel seems so far off, and where it seems as the only things that count, the only acts of obedience that count are the big ones, the ones that are world-changing, the ones that are globe-trotting. Father, equip us for the call that you have given us one step at a time. Fill us with your Spirit so that we can no longer ignore or evade your call, but that we eagerly and joyfully turn toward you and follow after you where you are leading us. By the Spirit's power and in Jesus' name, amen.